Well, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I'm joined now by Representative Jim Kelly. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Zach. How are you?
You know, I'm doing just fine, and I'm real happy to have you in, even if it's kind of, we're between things exciting happening, but there is still stuff to talk about. So I guess let's start with those pay increases for correctional officers.
Yeah, yesterday, if you go back a few weeks, we've heard of all the unrest, particularly at the El Dorado prison, and a lot of that being linked to very high double-digit turnover at all the prison facilities, but I think El Dorado a little higher, and some of that linked, of course, to the danger working in one of those places, one of the prisons, but the other because of the pay. And so yesterday, there'd been calls for a special session, but yesterday the governor actually went to El Dorado and announced a 10% pay increase for the El Dorado correctional facility and 5% for all the other correctional facilities. And I think there's can't remember, 300 or 400 at El Dorado, and then maybe about 1,500 at the other correctional facilities around the state. So the legislature will have to come up on that with someplace in the neighborhood of $10,000 to cover that when the session comes back in 2018. But I think that was a step. A number of people were calling for a special session. The legislative leaders were urging the governor to use his own power to do that, and he did that yesterday. So, I mean, we probably won't notice an immediate increase. The pay increase is supposed to try to start this month, and so that'll be one step. I mean, I think there's a number of other things in the prison system. As you see, many of the buildings are aging up in the Leavenworth, Lansing area. Some of them date back to the 1800s, and so those facilities, there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, but this one was done yesterday. So it was a good step, I think a good thing for the governor to do it and not call a special session, which would be a lot of additional expense.
Now, for the individual correctional officer, do you know how much, like numerically, that is going to be raising their paycheck?
I think the numbers I've seen quoted were mainly starting wage, and I think the starting wage now is $13 and something around 50 cents, and it was going to take it up over to over $15.
So pretty substantial for, like, you know, an hour, and considering an hourly wage.
Yeah, and according to the indications of, you know, the pay status of the Kansas correctional officers versus those from across the country, Kansas has been low, and this will boost that up some.
Now, is that a job that you need a degree for, or is that a job that just someone who is physically able to do it can pick up and do? Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume that you would not have to have a degree for, but I would think there would be a certain amount of law enforcement training that would be necessary, and you know, those type of certifications would be my guess, but I'm not sure.
Right. Something I'll have to look into on my own free time, but I guess what's your take on that personally? How do you feel like about those pay increases? Like, do you think that was the right choice? Is that a good long-term decision for the state?
Well, I think it's a good long-term decision, and I don't know. I also heard yesterday after the governor's news conference that there were some other legislators that when they look at coming up with the dollars to cover this, maybe $10 million, looking at doing additional increases in order to cut down the turnover and have a better chance of hiring the type of individuals that they want to hire. And I think it's good. I mean, I don't know that I could put a figure in my mind to what it would take for me to want to work inside of one of the prisons. So I think it takes a special individual, and I believe that was a good step yesterday.
Absolutely. Do you know how much that's going to, cost an average taxpayer? Do you know what that reflection is going to look like?
No, I don't know what it will cost. I mean, $10 million is the number that was given that this pay increase will probably cost. In the scheme of things and, you know, a multi-billion dollar budget, it's pretty small.
Right. So we're talking pennies at most to the average man.
That's what I would think. And they could actually potentially pull money from someplace else that's already, you know, been budgeted and move it around too. So it may
not cost
even
anything
cut
at
that.
All.
Yeah.
So in other news, there's a lot of people entering the governor race with the, you know, announcement that Sam Brownback has accepted a new job, and, you know, just there's suddenly a lot of interest in this upcoming race for governor. Would you care to expound upon that just a little bit?
Yeah, there was Governor Brownback. I heard him this morning indicate, you know, that he was not going to resign his position until the appointment was made official, which requires Senate confirmation in the U.S. Senate. And they are in recess, so the soonest it would happen would be sometime in September. And so he won't resign, but the thing that's the other interest that's created, even though he was may leave early, is the fact that he would be termed out. So he could not serve as governor anymore. So there would be a somewhat crowded race, but it's probably more interest in it now because, one, it was going to be open anyway, and two, this gives a number of people the opportunity, I think, to maybe jump in early. So there are, Dr. Jeff Collier, the lieutenant governor, has announced that he's going to run for governor, and there are, I think, maybe five other people right now that have put in on the Republican side and a couple on the Democratic side, and I have heard that House Minority Leader Jim Ward out of Wichita maybe will announce tomorrow, and there's a couple others. So it could be one of the most crowded races for governor in Kansas in a number of years, and multiple Republicans and I think multiple Democrats. So it will be probably, if anyone will like that, probably it will be KGGF and other news outlets, because it will generate that much competition, generates a lot of advertising, and mainly because, you know, Chris Kobach, the current Secretary of State, announced his candidacy actually first. And when you hear the polls on name recognition, you know, he's got the name recognition because of all the things he's been involved in. So a lot of other people that have thrown their hats in, I may know them just because of the Topeka connection, but a lot of people in the rest of Kansas don't. So there's going to be a lot of posturing to come out and get name recognition when the primary occurs next August.
And there's even a couple of sort of interesting wild cards. I believe a 16-year-old high school student threw his hat in the ring, because there's no age limitation on governor.
Right. He can't vote for himself, but
he's running. Yeah,
he's running. So yeah, this will be an interesting year. You know, the second district, Lynn Jenkins announced that she was not going to run again, and there's been, I think, three people so far that have thrown their hat in. The newest, just this week, was Kevin Jones, that has been in the House for the last 5 years, and he threw his hat in. There's a senator that probably will, Karen Tyson, and then there's been Paul Davis on the Democratic side. And Paul had a real tight race with Governor Brownback in the last election for the governor's position, so he's looking at running for that. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting primary and an interesting November election coming up in 18.
Absolutely. And, you know, Governor Brownback was, at least in my, you know, I haven't been in Kansas more than about a year now, but in my experience, he was very difficult to work with, at least with his Senate and House. It seemed like he wanted to veto just about everything he wanted to do. What do we want out of a governor? Is that what we need out of a governor, someone that's going to make it more difficult to pass legislation, someone that has a very stringent moral view, or do we want someone who's more about compromise? What do you think?
I would say that it's a combination of the two. I think that in my mind, and I mean, I have had no personal bad experiences with the governor. He's been helpful on several issues that I've worked on. But I think you need someone willing to compromise but not fold. And you need, I think, someone that in certain issues that are important, that are controversial, that you need someone that's tough enough and stand up if that's the right thing to do for the people of Kansas. But I think you need to be willing to admit that either a program or some other thing that you've done, whether it's the tax plan from 2012 or whether it's something to do with colleges and K-12, you have to, I think, be willing to admit that it's not working and that you need to go back and retool it and not, you know, not just say it's going to work down the line, let's just hang on. I think you need to be willing to go back and say, can we tweak this? And so I think you need someone like that, that is willing to step up and make a change if it needs to be made from what you're seeing from the numbers.
All right. Well, Representative Jim Kelly, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it, and you enjoy the rest of Fair and Rodeo Week.
I'll do my best. Thank you very much. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Coming up at the top of the hour, we do have a Fox News update followed by local news with Deborah Wood. Also, stay tuned for all the best in news, talk, and farm.